Well, there are a number of jokes about Unitarian Universalists in Christianity, some better than others, but here are a few. When was the last time someone mentioned Jesus Christ in a Unitarian Universalist church? When the custodian hit her thumb with a hammer. Instead of studying the New Testament, Unitarian Universalists study Robert's Rules of Order. The favorite Unitarian Universalist Christmas carol is, "What child is this?" On Easter Sunday, Unitarian Universalists believe if Jesus comes out of the cave and sees his shadow, we will have six more weeks of winter. There is only one thing that all Unitarian Universalists agree on. Mary was not a virgin. Now, these jokes stem from the fact that the number of Unitarian Universalists who consider themselves Christian has steadily declined in the last century. In one study, which was completed in 1934, researchers classified 68% of Unitarians surveyed as traditional Christians. 1934, 68% Unitarians were Christians. In 1967, 43% of Unitarian Universalists, now we had merged in 1961, in 1967, 43% described themselves as Christians. In 1987, a study said that 19% of Unitarian Universalists in the United States and Canada identified themselves as Christian. And then 11 years later, in a study completed in 1998, 10% of American Unitarian Universalists called themselves Christian. Well, given that 90% of Unitarian Universalists in the United States and Canada no longer define themselves as Christians, I would say that most Unitarian Universalist churches are not Christian. Some exceptions exist to this. The National Universalist Church on 16th Street in Washington, D.C. retains a strong Christian identity. They say the Lord's Prayer there every Sunday. And certain members of some Unitarian churches in New England, such as King's Chapel in Boston, continue to see themselves as Christians. Nevertheless, these congregations are in the minority. In most of our churches in this country, ministers only occasionally use a reading from the Bible. Clergy seldom mention Jesus from the pulpit. We hardly ever speak the word Christ, word which originally in the Greek meant Messiah, the word Christ in our worship services. Not only are most of us not Christians, many of us are uncomfortable with Christianity. Many of you came to this faith after a bad experience in a traditional Christian church. These experiences can make us uncomfortable and distrustful of people who describe themselves as Christians. As a result, for some of us, we find it easier to see the good and the value in Judaism and the good and valuable in Buddhism. It's easier to see the merits of those religions than to see the good in Christianity. Now, personally, I have within me a complex and subtle web of distrust when it comes to Christianity. This distrust is the result of the skepticism I learned about Christianity from growing up in a Unitarian Universalist church. Now, I was taught to treat all religions, including Christian churches, with respect and tolerance. It was very important to respect the dignity of all people, regardless of their religious belief. But then I learned as a child, and this was somewhat indirectly communicated to me, that we Unitarian Universalists were advanced people. And that the other churches were backward. They believed things we Unitarian Universalists knew were not so. As an adult, my view of Christianity was reinforced in my encounters with organizations like the Moral Majority and the Christian Coalition. Although both the Moral Majority and the Christian Coalition have long ago faded from the scene, faded into history, I still have this fear that someday, if they can gain enough power, fundamentalist conservative Christians will take away my freedom. I fear that freedom of choice about abortion will be lost. I fear that the government will again condemn my gay and lesbian friends. I fear that Christians will force us to have our lives sustained on life support long after we should be allowed to die with dignity. I fear that my children will not learn about evolution in their science classes and that they'll be forced to say Christian prayers in school. So, out of all these fears, I distrust Christians. However, there's a fine line that exists between distrust and prejudice. When it comes to Christianity, I move from my distrust to really having a prejudice. As a teenager and as a young adult, I did not open myself to new information. I did not open myself to new experiences. I did not open myself to new patterns of thinking and feeling. In my 20s, I first heard of a Unitarian Universalist minister, who said that he was also a Christian. I thought something must be wrong with this man. How is it possible to be a rational, logical, Unitarian Universalist and also to be a Christian? Why would any clear-headed person identify with a religious movement that is based on old, irrational stories? How old-fashioned, I thought. Knowing that something must be wrong with this man, at first I did not go to hear him preach. However, other students at the seminary I was attending kept telling me what a great preacher this man was. Finally, after a friend dragged me to hear this Unitarian Universalist Christian's sermons. At coffee hour, I bought a reprint of an old sermon that he had given called Confessions of a Unitarian Christian. And I read this. He said, "I remember the meeting with the pulpit committee of a large Unitarian Universalist congregation in the East. It was a very congenial meeting until one of the members asked about my theology. When I replied to the search committee looking for a minister that I was a Christian, the faces turned suddenly to stone, and the room went dead. Finally, after the longest meditation I had ever endured, the chair of the ministerial search committee said, 'Well, maybe we won't have to tell anyone.' Then he went on to tell another story. I remember another incident when I spoke on the theme of Christian symbolism in literature. I was asked to attend a sermon discussion after the service in the basement of the church. When I arrived, a man was screaming loudly pounding on a table and throwing ashtrays to the floor. As I approached, he shouted, "We have a free pulpit in this church, and we don't want any of that Christian garbage." Well, as I read these stories, I thought that perhaps it was time for me to set aside my own distrust of Christianity and see if there was something from which I might learn. I wondered, what are the beliefs of the American Unitarian Christian? I found in my research a good answer given in the 19th century by the Reverend James Freeman Clark. He said, "A Christian is one who takes Jesus as his guide in religion and who goes directly to Jesus' teachings for religious truth." A Christian is one who takes Jesus as his guide in religion and who goes directly to his teachings for religious truth. Well, I'm indebted to James Freeman Clark and to other Unitarian Universalist Christians for the way in which they reestablished my own ability to open myself to Christianity. Thanks to them, I began to see Christianity less as an old-fashioned, irrational religion and more as a story about a person who tried to teach people how to love each other. The Unitarian Universalist Christians taught me that in spite of all the baggage loaded onto Jesus' life over the centuries, in the original story, there is still much that can inspire and guide me. As I matured in my own understanding of religion, I started to value certain passages in the New Testament. For example, I've been drawn to the words in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, where Jesus is quoting as saying, "Why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own?" In other words, I remind myself to look at my own weaknesses instead of focusing on the faults of others. I say this in my head occasionally. Why, Roger, why are you worried about the speck in another person's eye when, Roger, you have a log in your own? Now, it's a vivid, exaggerated, humorous image. Jesus must have had a sense of humor, intended to call my attention to the irony of fault-finding in others. In John's Gospel, there's a story, a remarkable story, that exterminates all conventional morality. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou?" This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Now, at this point, Jesus is trying to think of a clever response. Jesus stooped down, and with his finger, he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So, when they continued asking them, he lifted up himself, and he said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest and even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I love that passage. In this respect, I can call myself a Christian because, like Jesus, I oppose the death penalty. Like Jesus, I support women's rights. But then there's another story that I read, and you know, Jesus sets the bar so high that I can't even reach with my hand. He said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side. So the priest said, No, I'm not going to help this guy. I can really identify with that priest. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, he came and looked on at him and passed on by the other side. But a certain Samaritan. Now remember that in this time, 2,000 years ago, the respectable Jews really looked down on the Samaritans. That's the way Unitarian Universalists look down on people who are members of the Tea Party. So let's change it. A certain member of the Tea Party, as he journeyed, came to where he was. And when he saw the man on the road who had been beaten up, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds. He poured oil in and wine, and he set him on his beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and he gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Then Jesus looked out at his disciples and he said, Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was the neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to his disciples, Go and do likewise. In other words, to be a Christian, it's necessary to help the homeless, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to visit the prisoner. And in this respect, I cannot call myself a Christian because I do not stop and care for the homeless person that I might see on the streets of Sarasota. I struggle with my own inability to follow this high standard set by Jesus. Today, less than 10% of American Unitarian Universalists call themselves Christian, yet they remain an important force in our liberal religious movement. When I served as minister of the Unitarian Church in New Bedford, Massachusetts, each Sunday I preached in front of this giant glass mosaic of Jesus being led by a spirit into the wilderness. It was a very beautiful, a very sacred space. It's still there, still is. In New England, Some Unitarian Universalist congregations still say the Lord's Prayer and serve communion. When I was guest minister at the Unitarian Church in Adelaide, Australia, there was a group of about 10 Unitarian Christians out of a congregation of 100. They met once a month after the Sunday service to bond together, to exchange stories, and to talk about different New Testament passages and how those passages impact their lives. When I was a guest minister at the Unitarian Church in Edinburgh, Scotland, I would enter the church by walking under a stone sign that the congregation had placed there that said, it said to the whole world, it was on the outside of the church, "There is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus." Now, the key part of this message that the Edinburgh Unitarians were trying to communicate to the world from quoting the New Testament are the words, "the man, Christ Jesus," because the Unitarians were trying to point out that the New Testament says that Jesus is a human being and not God. When I gave a sermon last August at our partner church in Transylvania, I based my sermon on a New Testament passage about forgiveness. The thousands of Unitarians in Romania and in Hungary consider themselves Unitarian Christians. And then I visited the Dublin Unitarian Church in early September. There I was inspired by the beautiful stained glass images illustrating the New Testament that decorate the walls of that church. About 10% of the people in our congregation call themselves Christians. They would say that they take Jesus as their guide in religion. They look to Jesus to teach them religious truths. However, you might not know that they are Christian because they're very modest people. They don't go around proclaiming, "I'm a Christian Unitarian." One of them said, "I do not pretend that I am a worthy example of the Christian faith. The abandonment of selfishness, the will to sacrifice, the goodness of the heart, these are all daily struggles in my soul. I am never complete, but I'm always in the process of becoming. Therefore, I do not even declare myself a Christian to most people because I know I do not deserve the title." Well, these modest Christians among us make me at least a better minister and a better human being. And I give thanks for their presence in our religious community.